BBC Guernsey. We've been talking today about New Year's resolutions, particularly about weight loss and dieting. And we've had calls on this, people suggesting it's more a case of mind over matter than what you're eating, and about keeping active, as well as about what you're actually putting into your mouth as well. We'll talk a bit more about this with nutrition expert Zoe Harkham next at BBC Guernsey.
Survivors returns to BBC One.
We can't stay here.
We doing?
Come and listen to it.
Come on, you sit down and listen to it quietly.
There's no food, there's no water. It's not safe.
So what do? Just give up and leave?
Tom, I need you here.
This is what violence does. It destroys everything. And if we let him stay with us, it'll destroy us too.
Think you can survive without me? Go ahead and try it.
When survival is all that matters, will they go it alone or stand together? Survivors begins next Tuesday night at 9 on BBC One.
Good morning, it's BBC Guernsey. It's 20 to 12, latest news on the way at midday today. And after 12 o'clock, Tim Earle is going to be here, wildlife expert, talking about the 951 species of birds that he spotted last year, and taking your calls as well. So if you have any unusual sightings or indeed questions for Tim, we'll do that from midday today here at BBC Guernsey. Right now, though, back to New Year's resolutions and back to losing weight and going on a diet, something that so many people do at this time of year. We've had calls this morning on this subject. People saying that it's not so much about what you eat, it's also about your psychological, your mental approach to it. People saying that actually it can be to do with mind over matter. Other people saying that it's very much a spiritual thing and about not feeling guilty about what you eat. And others suggesting actually if we just kept active, we wouldn't have to worry about what we were actually putting in to our bodies. Let's talk to nutritional expert Zoe Harkham about this, because apparently one of the ways to lose weight is to stop dieting altogether. Confused? Well, let's find out. Zoe, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, welcome to BBC Guernsey. So you sort of go along the lines of saying that actually not dieting or not worrying about dieting per se is the way forward. How does that work?
Well, it's basically about not eating less. If you eat less, the body will just fight you every step of the way. The first thing it will do is make you hungry, and that alone ruins most diets. Then it will slow down your metabolism, so you get to the point where actually you don't lose weight anymore on a number of calories that used to make you lose weight, and your body will actually use up lean muscle before it will lose up fat. So it just works against you in some really, really fundamental ways. So my key advice to people is whatever you do this new year, don't eat less, eat better. You've got to go back to eating the foods that nature wants us to eat, meat, fish, eggs, dairy products, a lot of the things that we're actually told to avoid. Because people think, meat's too fatty or whatever. We've been eating it for 3.5 million years, so, it's definitely better for us than all the processed food that we're cramming in at the moment.
No, but if we're still eating the same amount of food, then how are we going to lose weight?
Where do I start on this one? We have got the laws of the universe completely fundamentally misapplied to the world of dieting. People walk around saying there is a law of the universe that says energy in equals energy out, and there isn't. There is a law of the universe that says that energy can be changed from one form into another, and it can't be created or destroyed, but not that it's as simple as energy in equals energy out. So if you have that simple view, you just come to the conclusion, we've got to put less energy in, eat less, we've got to get more energy out, do more, and there isn't that law in the first place. If you put less energy into a car, it will pack up. If you put less energy into a human body, it will go into starvation mode. You've got to give the body the food that it needs, but in the form of good food, not in the form of empty sugar calories or almost empty flour calories. The quantity of those foods that we eat is just staggering relative to real foods that we should be eating a lot more of.
Right, but surely, if we're... I'm just trying to work this one out. If we're eating a lot and sitting on our backsides and not doing any energy, we're going to put on weight, aren't we?
No, if you eat the wrong things, it is physically impossible to store fat, to lay down fat on your body in the absence of something called insulin. You only have insulin if you eat a carbohydrate. You cannot store fat unless you eat carbs. So it really is true. I mean, and there are experiments back as far as 1956. Some guys in hospital had a bit of a laugh with their patients. And so we've got a captive audience here. Let's start playing around. Let's put these guys on purely carbohydrate. Let's put these guys on fat protein. And let's see what happens. And they just kept increasing the calories of these guys who were lying there ill in bed. And they got them up to about 2,600 calories of fat protein. And they were still losing weight. And they put them onto 2,000 calories of carbs. And they started putting on weight. So, you know, we have known for over 50 years that it's what we eat that is way more important than how much, and yet we just carry on telling people to eat less and do more. It's the biggest crime against humanity that I think we've ever created.
Let's break this down a bit more then. What types of foods are the ones that we should avoid?
Avoid any processed food, particularly processed carbohydrates. So the single biggest food, if somebody wanted to make a New Year's resolution, avoid sugar. Has no vitamins, no minerals, no protein, no water, nothing that the body needs. It gives us pure empty calories. Now, can you believe we eat 400 calories of sugar per person per day on average in the UK? And we're not the world leaders. Australia eats 600 calories of sugar. That's giving us nothing. It's like putting diesel in a petrol car. It gives us no useful things that the body can use. It's just pure empty energy, and we're getting too much of that. So just switch those calories into eating brown rice, stir-fried vegetables, steak, pork chops, fish, real food. The body would just not know what's hit it. It would love you for it.
You mentioned the fish there, for example, which has often been associated with a good diet.
Yes.
But you also mentioned red meat as well, like steak. Now, that's something which in the past we've been told to avoid or cut down on.
Absolutely. And again, it's a crime against humanity. We are telling people the wrong things. People say, oh, you must eat less meat because it's full of saturated fat. Do you know that the main fat in every single meat is unsaturated fat? The main fat in beef is monounsaturated fat.
And the difference between the two?
Well, that's the good stuff that they tell us to eat more of. So they say, oh, you know, the Mediterranean diet, isn't it wonderful, all the olive oil that those people eat, olive oil's full of unsaturated fat. Well, yeah, but so is meat. So is fish. You know, the highest saturated fat you'll find anywhere is actually in a coconut. And I don't see many people in Guernsey eating coconuts. So, you know, we've just got it so wrong. We shouldn't fear food that has been around all the time that humans have been on the planet. I have this great little factoid, actually. Let's say we've been eating food as nature delivers it, meat, fish, eggs, dairy, whatever, for 24 hours. Well, agriculture developed about 4 minutes ago. That's what gave us the large-scale access to carbohydrates. And our consumption of sugar has gone up 20-fold in the past 5 seconds. Now, which food do you think is making us fat? Which food do you think causes heart disease? It's not the meat.
But even things like dairy.
Yeah, dairy, great. Why would you not want to eat dairy products? Milk is one of the most nutritious foods on the planet.
But what about cheese? Because cheese is basically fat, isn't it?
It's milk, but sort of solidified. Yes, it does have a high fat content, but it will have no impact on insulin whatsoever, or a tiny impact. I mean, it does have a tiny amount of carbohydrate. But you literally can eat a large portion of cheese and steak. And the body can't lay it down as fat unless you eat a carbohydrate at the same time. The steak with salad is great. Steak with chips is not good because the body will release the insulin and enable you to store the fat in the steak.
One of the messages that we have been told repeatedly, and I think it's a message that most people are certainly aware of, even if they're not acting upon it, is that in our diet we should have 5 portions of fruit and veg a day. How important is that in your approach?
Well, do you know any evidence behind that? Do you know where that comes from? Because there actually isn't any evidence behind it. As an obesity researcher, I do things like writing to the Food Standards Agency and governments and saying, you know, so where does this come from? And they will write back, you know, I have letters back from them saying, oh, you know, of course, you know, 5 is just a number. You know, there's no report that says 5 is better than 4 or not as good as 6. It's just a number. It's probably no more scientific than the fingers on one hand. Now, the Germans, I think, do a really good thing. They say have about 500 grams of vegetables and salads. And they say, what's your fruit consumption? I think the Australians say 7 portions of veg and 2 of fruit. So a lot of people are recognising that fruit is quite high in carbohydrate and it's just turned into sugars very, very quickly by the body. So if you're trying to lose weight, you should limit your consumption of fruit. You certainly shouldn't be having 5+ portions of fruit a day. But veg and salad, eat until the cows come home, as much as you want.
I'm really surprised at that, because that's the message that we've been told so many times, isn't it?
Yes.
That fruit and veg. But I mean, on that subject, you're not saying that we shouldn't eat those things.
No, veg and salad, absolutely eat as much as you possibly can with your main meals. You know, it's a fantastic source of nutrients, fibre. You know, have huge portions of stir-fried veg and a side salad if you can manage it. That's what we should fill up on. But really, really, really watch your consumption of fruit, particularly the higher sugar fruits, like the tropical fruits that we haven't evolved to adapt to. You know, we didn't have bananas, pineapples, melons, mangoes historically in this part of the world. You know, we would have got the odd apple, a root vegetable, berries, nuts. That's what we would have adapted to, you know, to be able to accommodate.
A few years ago, people were talking about the Atkins diet as being the big thing. How does your approach differ from that?
My approach, I mean, it differs very much in how I came about it. I was bulimic in my early 20s and set about trying to answer the question, why do you sit there eating a packet of biscuits when you want more than anything in the world to be slim? I've actually come across three very common conditions that cause insatiable food cravings. So my diet has been designed to overcome those conditions, overcome food cravings. You just feel so fantastically well because it clears up all these other things. Now, any good diet is going to end up taking you down the route of eating food as nature advises it. So I will allow a lot more carbs than Atkins would. You can have brown rice, whole grain pasta, fruit, baked potatoes. But I actually think Atkins is a pretty good diet. I wouldn't go on to the bars, you know, the processed carb counted Atkins bars. They're no good. But meat, fish, vegetable salads, you can't go far wrong.
Right, but some studies suggested that that diet contributes to health problems like, you know, cardiovascular disease, heart disease, osteoporosis. That they've all been things that have been investigated. Are there any health concerns from taking your approach?
No,
side effects?
No. Again, this is quite an interesting debate as well, actually. I can stand here without any fear of being contradicted whatsoever and say absolutely has not been proven that eating fat causes heart disease. The best we have ever come up with is an association, and it's not even a consistent association. So we'll say America has a lot of fat and America has a lot of heart disease. But then I can say, well, France eats tons of fat and France has really low heart disease. Same with Switzerland, same with Austria, and I can give you examples of all the other different things. So we haven't even got a consistent association. So we cannot, it's like me saying, oh, I see someone in the bath and they're singing, so therefore being in the bath causes singing.
But the health professionals would argue against that, wouldn't they? Because we've heard that argument time and time again.
We do. And, you know, if we had more time, I could go back to sort of when it came about, and it was in the 1950s, and some guy set about basically trying to prove that eating fat causes heart disease. He didn't prove it. You know, he has at best come up with these associations, but it just became a bandwagon. He was very persuasive, and the only reason we tell people to avoid fat is because of this very, very shaky research.
But are you not standing out on a limb here? Because I'm sure the health professionals, if they were here, would confront you head on with this one.
There are a lot more starting to be of this view. I mean, Atkins was by no means the first. You know, back in the 1860s, there's a guy called Banting. Gary Tobes is out there at the moment saying exactly what I'm saying. Barry Groves. You know, there are more and more people coming out and saying, guys, we have got this so wrong. We've been eating meat and fish and any animal parts that we could get our hands on through our ancestors 3.5 million years. These cannot be the causes of heart disease. What is infinitely more likely is that something like sugar, which the body has no need for, could well be causing damage to arterial walls, and that could be causing heart disease. Infinitely more likely.
Where does exercise appear in your equation?
Oh, that's a really interesting one, actually. The short answer on exercise is it is a great thing to do. It's going to make you feel good, you know, mentally, physically, tone you up, all the rest of it. But the worst possible reason to exercise is because you think it's going to use up energy.
But it will
just make you hungry. You know, any day that I decide to go for a swim, you know, which isn't too often, I immediately feel hungry. And I will pretty much guarantee I will put in more fuel than I have just used up. You can eat in 1 minute what will take an hour to use up.
But if you're eating the right thing...
Yes. Eat the right things. Exercise is a great part of a healthy eating plan, but it just requires fuel. You know, if you're going to drive from one end of the island to the other, you need to put the petrol in the car. If you're going to go to the gym for an hour, you've got to put the petrol in the tank, and the body will demand that fuel to be put in. If you put in good fuel, if you come back from the gym and have a brown rice and stir-fry veg, you're doing really, really well. But people get so low in blood sugar, you know, they really go for the burn and overdo it, that they go to the cafe and they have a muffin and they tell themselves, oh, I've been good, I deserve it. you're better off not going to the gym and not having the muffin. You know, walk the dog and have a good meal in the evening instead.
There will be some people, and I'm probably one of them now, who are starting to be a little bit confused. Because depending on which newspaper you read, you're told that either that a certain food is, you know, the cure for everything, or it's going to be, you know, cause you all sorts of illnesses and disease and everything else. And it's the same when it comes to diets. There are new diets we talk about every year. How are people going to make sense of all of this? Because I'm confused.
That's a really great question. I basically say to myself, because, you know, I've gone through all this research, who do I trust? Do I trust nature, and do I trust Darwin and evolution, or do I trust food manufacturers who are trying to get me to eat some product that they've managed to make solid at room temperature because they want me buying an expensive margarine? Now, I trust nature. I trust evolution. I trust that what we've been eating and our ancestors throughout all this time cannot be bad for us, or we would have died out a long, long time ago. I just do not believe anything in meat is going to cause us any physical problems at all. I do believe that the stuff we've added into our diet over the last 200 years, I mean, I've just got a packet of something in front of me here, maltodextrin, sodium citrate, monoandiglycerides and dextrose, malic acid. That isn't a common everyday food that we're putting into our body. I don't put that kind of rubbish into my body. I'll put anything into my body in the form that nature delivers it. I trust nature. I don't trust the government or food manufacturers.
Well, what sort of response have you had from the food manufacturers and from the government?
Well, I have actually lobbied the government on quite a few occasions when they come out with things like the Foresight Report, or, you know, the Big Fat Problem campaign. I will contact them and say, you know, look, this advice is fundamentally wrong. This is how it's fundamentally wrong. And you just get a nice little letter back saying, you know, thank you for your view, but we believe that, you know, people need to base their meals on starchy foods. And that's how we fatten cattle. If you want to fatten a cow or pig to take it to market, you give it corn and starch and base its meals on starchy foods. How can it be that that advice is going to help a human lose weight?
Thank you very much indeed for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. That's been really interesting for me as well, actually. Thank you. You
certainly posed a lot of questions as well this morning. And I don't know about you, but do you feel slightly confused after all of that? We've been talking about diets and the ones that work for you this morning. If you want to react to what you've heard to, go on, give us a call, 200-373. That was Zoe Harkham there, the nutritionist, and the lady behind the Harkham diet. It's 5 to 12. It's BBC Guernsey. Let me give you that number again, 200-373, if you want to have your say.